What does being Ghanaian mean to you? I'm Abna Sewa, and at Akadi magazine, we put that question to Ghanaians across the globe as part of our issue on identity. In this episode, we speak to award-winning animator and author, Comfort Arthur, whose web series, I'm Living in Ghana, Get Me Out of Here, won Best Animation in the Africa Movie Academy Awards in 2020. Her animation explores the reality of moving from the UK to live in Ghana and is hugely funny. We asked her what impact this experience had on her identity as a British-born Ghanaian.
So basically, a lot of people ask me this question all the time, Comfort. How did you manage for almost 8 years living in Ghana, not coming back to the UK to visit, and you did those long stretches? And I always so say to people that holidaying in Ghana is totally different from living in Ghana. It's a totally different thing. And a lot of people, when they get rushed with the whole idea of moving back, but they don't realize that because they've gone on holiday and they've enjoyed it so much, and they're like, oh, I love Ghana and Ghana's this, but they don't realize that living is totally different. Yeah. There's so many different cultural differences of living in the UK and versus living in Ghana. And that's what I documented in my web series, I'm Living in Ghana, Get Me Out of Here. So many things that I wouldn't necessarily tolerate if I was in the UK. But when you get to Ghana, it's like, you have to tolerate this, you know. Mm. It's what it is, it's what's happened. And I can give you an example. Yeah. For example, when I, in one of the episodes, when I asked the hairdresser to do my hair in a certain way, and she told me it was 10 Ghana cedis, and I was like, okay, cool. And then when she did my hair, she didn't do it to the style that I wanted. Mm. And I was like, I want my money. And she's like, no, there's nothing you can do. What's it? I mean, a lot of people have experienced that where you just have to part of your money. But yeah. If you go to the UK, it's like, no, I'm not satisfied, you know. Yeah, yeah. And so those are the little differences, you know. And England, you can walk on the street and not greet anybody. But in Ghana, you have to do that. You can't just pass an old lady and not say good morning.
Yeah.
Because she's gonna think you're rude. Yeah. You know, and I had to learn this as I was living here, the etiquettes of greeting and making sure you're not disrespectful or anything. Because I'm quite an introvert person by nature. So sometimes it takes me time to say hello. People don't believe that, but I do. I'm a shy person. So when I first came to Ghana, I'll be walking on the streets and not say hello, greet people. And people be like, oh, this person is rude. But it wasn't the case. But England, you can walk past and not be, yeah.
In this segment, I asked Comfort how far her holiday visits to Ghana prepared her for her later experience of relocating to the country.
Bless my mom. She would make us go to Ghana every summer. Mm. So I already had an idea of what Ghana was. But again, not the living, you know, for long periods and having to take trotro. When I first came, it was a trotro thing. I was hustling. So it wasn't, I didn't have money. So I'll be hustling, taking trotro. And, you know, all the things that would happen, sometimes the mate would try and take some of your cash and not tell you that he not give you the change because they assume that because you're from a brochure, you've got money. So even, you know, one city that they take from you, it's not important to you. But, you know, these were certain things and certain frustrations that I penned this down on Facebook every day about my experiences, which is what turned Living in Ghana, Get Me Out of Here into a memoir for me before it became a web series.
In this segment, I asked Comfort if having a fluency in Chi helped her to integrate better in Ghana.
So when I first came, I understand Chi completely, but my speaking is very bad. But I can speak it. I can hold a conversation in Chi. Mm. When I first got there, I pretended that I don't understand. I was green. I don't understand anything. And there were certain times I'll be at the market and the market sellers were like, well, Mr. Siu, Abawe, no. Mr. Siu. Like, they'll be speaking amongst themselves.
Saying
that they're going to, you know,
I'm
those are listening.
For anyone who doesn't know, I'm going to, isn't it, fleece her, I'm going to cheat her.
Yeah. there was one woman, and so I was like looking at her like green, like I don't know anything. The colleague was saying to her, but sister, where are your 5 Ghana cities? And she said, Debbie, where you this woman messing on me? Me catch her 7 Ghana cities. The principle is that it was initially 5 cities, but she's going to tell me it's 7 cities. But I was pretending like I didn't know. When I was giving her the change, I just gave her 5 cities. And she looked at me and said, Madam, no, it's 7 cities. This one is 7 cities. I said, no, but you just said to your colleague that you were going to fleece me and it's 5 cities. And she looks shocked. I said, yeah. So those are little funny things that I used to write about on Living in Ghana, Get Me Out of Here, all these different experiences. Like, for example, in one episode of Living in Ghana, and I asked the taxi driver, oh, can I go to this place? And he told me it was 20 Ghana cities. And I was, you know, in Ghana, I'm sure, Abina, you know, you have to negotiate taxi fees.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, even in the market, you have to learn the art. If you're moving to Ghana, you have to learn the art of negotiation, you know. And this driver, I said, I can only give him 15. And then he just waved me into the car to get in. And then when I got into the taxi, I didn't have change. So this is what I learned in Ghana, that if you negotiate in, make sure you have the right change.
Yes.
So when I gave him 20 cities after the ride, he doesn't look at my face. And then I'm sitting there waiting for my 5 city change. And as a driver, where's my 5 cities? And he said, no, it's 20 cities. But I said, we just spent like 5 minutes negotiating that it should be 15 cities. He said, no, it's not true, we didn't have that. So those are some of the frustrations that I've had, you know. I'm not saying that Ghana's terrible, but I love Ghana, but these were the frustrations I had to, and I had to learn very fast the art of negotiating and stuff.
In this segment, I asked Comfort what Ghanaians thought of her web series and if they thought she was painting a negative picture of Ghana.
No. I'm speaking the truth, and the truth, you know, that's one thing about being an artist. You're not scared of saying things that you necessarily wouldn't say out aloud. You use your art to tell things, and with Living in Ghana, Get Me Out of Here, it resonates with other people from different countries. So I remember when it was posted by Kelewele TV, immediately the response was, this happens in Nigeria, this happens in Congo, this happens in Sierra Leone. Oh, I can relate to this. Even Obronis, I mean, white people that have traveled to Ghana have said, I can relate to discomfort. This is me, you know? So it wasn't something that people got offended. Funny enough, when I first had it on my Facebook as memoirs, as little notes, and I wanted to turn it into a book, people got offended by it, like saying, why are you calling it I'm Living in Ghana, Get Me Out of Here? That's offensive. But when I turned it into the web series, it was a different reaction. So it's quite funny. I think it's because they saw the way that cuts were and the way the animation was, and especially the first episode when I'm coming to Ghana with the yellow card and the immigration officer is telling me that I can't enter Ghana if I don't have this yellow card, and then he's telling me I should give him £10, and that was my last £10 before and it always pains me. Like, I never forget that. I was looking back and see, can I go back to England? And you know, I always laugh at that very first moment when I entered Ghana, this whole situation happened. It was about to be a continuation of what was about to happen for the next few years.
In this following segment, I ask Comfort if there are certain attributes that make her Ghanaian.
I've had an identity crisis because you being in England, you're proud. Yeah, I'm Ghanaian and I'm proud. Then you come to Ghana and then people question whether you're actually Ghanaian. I've had so many times people ask me, where are you from? And I say, I'm a Ghanaian. No, you can't be Ghanaian. Are you Liberian? No. Are you Jamaican? I've been told so many times, because I usually like to wear, when I was in Ghana, I used to like to have this headscarf. My trademark, everyone knew me. I could be in Medina and someone would be on the trotro and then send me a message, Comfort, I saw you down the road because of this headscarf. And everyone used to think, every taxi driver that met me, they would automatically assume that I was from Jamaica because I had this headscarf. And I was like, what? And there was a time I had to I had to grab out my Ghana passport and show to this coconut guy that I was Ghanaian, because he didn't believe me. And when I tried to speak, I really wanted to learn tree and be better at my tree, improve my tree. And I would get, oh, your tree and nyekra. For those that listen, is your tree's not good. And I'll be like,
at all. You forgot the at all.
At all, sorry, your tree is not good at all. And I'll be like, but I never laugh at you when you're speaking English and your English is bad. And I never do that. And they said, and their excuse would be that if we don't teach you, you won't learn the tree well. I said, but how? How does that work? And so for me, I had this, you know, I was in England for years, proud of Ghanaian. I wouldn't even say I'm British, guys. I just say I'm Ghanaian. My parents are Ghanaian, I'm Ghanaian. But then when I'm here in Ghana, I'm now having to prove my identity and prove, had to spend so many times proving myself that I am Ghanaian just because I have a British accent. And that was frustrating for me for a lot of the time. It was very frustrating for me because I wasn't Ghanaian enough because I had this British accent, or my tree wasn't good enough. This person can speak to you and your tree is bad. You know, and it really was frustrating for me.
In the following segment, I asked Comfort how she was able to reconcile these feelings after spending 8 years living in Ghana.
Do you know what? I think it, even up to now, my area, they call me the Bronie girl. You know, they still don't, you know, see me as the a Ghanaian. Yeah. I'm too brothel brothel. I'm too brothel brothel. Brochi girl. Still, I'm still a brochi girl. You know, and but I've just lived with it. I mean, I know who I am. I know I'm a Ghanaian.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be Ghanaian. You know, living in Ghana, get me out of here, was just like me getting all of that feelings of frustration out and penning it out into a web series, into a my Facebook stories and stuff like that. And for me, if I have children in the future, I'm going to, you know, my mother made the mistake of not letting me us, you know, speak the tree when we were growing up. But for me, I will make sure, regardless of wherever my future spouse is from, my children will, they must learn tree from, they must speak tree, you know, they must, because it's important. It's part of your identity. And I realized once when I moved back to Ghana, how important language is. And how important it is to speak your mother tongue, and how important it is to know that, you know, your culture. And do you know what I mean? It's so important. Ever since I moved in Ghana, I appreciate being a Ghanaian. There's some things, traditions that I've questioned and I've had run-ins and debates with, and I've been told what happens in Rome, you must do what is wrong. For example, not using your left hand to shake. For me, I'm a left-handed. But it's caused me so much problems. So much problems in Ghana. Like, there was a time I accidentally forgot. There was a time I went somewhere and I handed the documents with my left hand.
Yeah.
And the lady told me that I shouldn't use my left hand.
Yeah.
Me, I ended up asking her, why? Why is it that there's something wrong with me using my left hand? And she said, well, it's rude. It's disrespectful in Ghana culture.
Yeah.
And I asked you, why is it? Because I want to, I know, but I wanted to question this, because we have this notion that left hand is bad because we apparently we use it to wipe our, you know, asses and stuff like that. But don't we use both hands to cook if it's so bad?
It's,
and
this so is what true. I was
and these are the certain traditions that I've been questioning, that we say it's bad, but we use both our hands. If the left hand was bad, why is it that, you know, and we use it to cook?
I ask Comfort if there are certain attributes that make her Ghanaian.
That's a quite a it's a quite a tricky question, because again, it goes back to, you know, there's some Ghanaians in the UK that are not fluent with tree, but they're so engrossed with the culture. You know, they understand certain cultures, the history. You know, being Ghanaian is there's so many things to it. It's not just about language. It's about history, knowing your history, knowing your roots. knowing traditions, you know, knowing there's so many things. Like when I, before going to Ghana, I had no idea. It's until I came to Ghana, I understood certain traditions, marriage traditions, family traditions, funeral rites, you know, all of these things. I learned a lot when I was in Ghana. And when there's a family dispute, what happens? And these are all certain etiquettes that are in place in Ghana that I hadn't known when I was in the UK. Yeah. But to say that if you don't, you can't speak the language so well, you're not Ghanaian enough. So it's hard. I think it to be Ghanaian, it encompasses so many different things. It encompasses the food, you know, the language, music, family, all of these things. So that's to me what to be a Ghanaian is, you know. And so, yeah, to know the history. And I knew when I moved to Ghana, I learned more about Kwame Nkrumah, you know, read up on so many of his books and ideologies and stuff like that. And those were so very important. And it changed my thinking about Ghana and politics and stuff like that.
Thank you for listening to this episode hosted by Miss B Writes for Akadi Magazine. The music in this episode is called Infitiasi or Genesis and is created exclusively for Akadi Magazine and Miss B Writes by percussionist Eric Owusu, aka King Owusu, and producer Nia Tom Sabag. For more content like this, visit www.akadimagazine.com. And msbwrites.co.uk. Thank you.